I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see the Kentucky Derby winning horse Medina Spirit tested positive for steroids? You know who did? Donald Trump. He took to his new blog. He made a statement in which he referred to the horse as a junkie. The horse as a junkie. Jimmy Kimmel called the former president our own triple clown winner. Kimmel, what is he talking about? Does he think the horse tested positive for Antifa? Kimmel, honestly, if he's going to start picking fights with horses, we should let him back on Twitter because I want to see that. Fallon, I can't stop laughing at the image of him at his desk writing his thoughts about a horse by hand. Seth, this was an official statement from the former president calling a horse a junkie, as if the horse bought all the drugs itself in some back alley and it only got caught because the horse's parents found a shoebox under its bed. Trevor, it's weird, though, to put this on the horse, right? I mean, it's not like the horse wants to take drugs or train all day or race around the track getting slapped on the ass. It's a horse. It wants to do what horses want to do. DJ, Trevor, yo, guys, I still can't believe this guy was president. I mean, this man is a legend. What other ex-president spends their time roasting horses? I saw on Instagram, Trevor had a great one. Newsweek had the headline, Trump calls Medina Spirit a junkie. Trevor said, yeah, what kind of loser tries to cheat to win a race? That is so good. Colbert, Medina Spirit tested positive for elevated levels of betamethasone, or as it's called on the street, the devil's oats, happy apples, horse. Fallon, when he heard that, the horse is like, hey, you said the needle was just the third Pfizer vaccine. Corden, on the bright side, this horse has no idea what's going on. He didn't even know he was in a race because he's a horse. Corden, race organizers became suspicious when the horse kept telling people about a screenplay and then going, God, don't you just want to dance? Colbert, the horse claimed it was just holding it for a friend. These are great. Fallon, right now the horse is thinking, as long as I'm being put out to stud, this sounds more like a you problem. Fallon, if things weren't bad enough for Medina Spirit, a photo just surfaced of him partying with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh no, Fallon. Yeah, his racing days may be over, but on the bright side, he just joined the Russian gymnastics team. Colbert, this is the most high-profile animal drug scandal since the winner of last year's Westminster dog show, Heisenberg. Oh, those were so good, and now I have to go to a downer. Page Six has reported John Mulaney and wife Anna Marie Tendler are divorcing. So let's catch up here. Mulaney went to rehab, he got back on stage, and now he's getting divorced. Tendler gave a statement through a spokesperson saying, I am heartbroken that John has decided to end our marriage. I wish him support and success as he continues his recovery. The two had been married since 2014. We'll see what happens there. Vulture reviewed that damn Michael Che. No, they're not insulting the guy. That's the name of Michael Che's new show, which blends topical sketches relating to current events with scenes where Che plays a version of himself, a black man navigating the racial fallout from the pandemic and protests of New York City in 2020, as he seeks greater recognition beyond the primetime gig to an audience that maybe thinks he's a jerk. Not quite a Louis and not quite a Chappelle show, Che splits its time between exploring the strained sensation of intermediate fame on being on TV every week, but unable to use your visibility to skip lines in any local club, and examining the ways the upheavals of 2020 have and haven't changed the plight of inner city communities in New York. Vulture writes, Che's humor seems pretty caustic on the surface, but its targets are fair and balanced to the extent that its fairness almost comes across as an insurance policy. Policin, the feisty series premiere, skewers the NYPD for tacky attempts to reform its image as a game of basketball staged between cops and black youth that concludes with an officer shooting the ball. Elsewhere in the episode, Che gets stuck in an elevator with a white woman played by Cecily Strong from SNL. She's eager to make amends for the injustice she's learning about. Her activism is hollow. Like the chipper fair-weather activist in the mock Fitbit protest ad elsewhere in the episode, she's just doing what feels good. Che's truths aren't always lacerating, and its jokes aren't always potent. That's not a good review. An episode about the cost of healthcare in America, which tees up a discussion about the dilemma people in underprivileged communities face when a hospital visit is needed, but the bill is just as much a danger to the patient's well-being as the illness itself. That devolves into a bit where Wu-Tang Clan's Method Man plays a smooth-talking, inexperienced doctor asking a man to perform his own colon cancer screening. That damn Michael Che thinks big and hits low. The show thinks on its toes, but struggles to be funny and poignant in the same scene sometimes, and it'd be critical without minding who it offends for every uncomfortable truth, like the ballers and sex worker, happy to promote social justice until it comes to trans women. I guess they didn't like that one. We're starting to see a lot of comedy coming back. I saw Jim Gaffigan announced a national tour, and the Nashville Comedy Festival is back on June 12th. Your headliner is Sebastian Maniscalco. He'll be joined by Tennessee native Leanne Morgan. They haven't announced the rest of the lineups yet, but good to see that's back. Speaking of Sebastian, he has joined the cast of Ray Romano's new Untitled Dramedy. In Untitled Dramedy, Leo is played by Ray Romano. Leo and Angela live a simple blue-collar life in Queens, surrounded by the big personalities of their overbearing Italian-American family. Yeah, you could see Ray Romano playing that, can't you? Well, when their lanky, soft-spoken son Styx finds success on the high school basketball team and a chance at life beyond what tradition expects, Leo tears the family apart, trying to make it happen. I think Sebastian's a little old to play the son. He probably plays someone else in Untitled Dramedy. No further word on the cast or when this is coming out, but Ray Romano, Sebastian Maniscalco is a good start. From Deadline, good news if you're the one fan of Dennis Leary's The Moody's. It's coming back to Fox, yeah. Two episodes airing back-to-back on June 6th, and then the last episode dropping 2 weeks later on June 20th. Deadline writes, while not officially canceled, The Moody's is heading into that direction, especially after the series was recently quietly pulled from the Fox schedule after five episodes. Sorry, Dennis, things look pretty grim. So normally this is the part of the show where I would ask you, did you vote yet for Comedy's Top Dog Late Night Edition? This week it's Trevor Noah versus Conan O'Brien. But unless you are Mouthy Broad Media, the answer is no. Mouthy Broad Media has voted for Conan, making the total votes 1-0. You guys are embarrassing me here. Go to Instagram, at Daily Comedy News, vote, because this is where I'm supposed to read the comments. If there ain't no comments, I ain't got no bit. Kevin Hart has a new job. He always has a new job. Netflix has unveiled the first trailer for Kevin Hart's latest feature. It's called Fatherhood. Now, this is sad. Fatherhood follows a man whose wife dies shortly after childbirth, leaving him to raise their daughter on his own. Yes, Kevin Hart plays the man. Kevin Hart tells his newborn daughter, if you could only have one parent, I wish you could have had your mom, because she would have been better at it. He's a struggling single dad. Kevin Hart's mother says, you think you could do this, but you can't. Kevin Hart's character says, you're right, I can't do it, but you know what? I'm gonna do it, because I'm her father. Fatherhood, Netflix, June 18th. Might as well clear the whole schedule and, you know, spend the whole day watching that on repeat. And from Bro Bible, comedian and golfer Jake Adams decided to embark on a challenge of hitting a golf shot in all 50 states in just 30 days. Why focus on, say, the climate crisis or, you know, helping people when you can golf in 50 states in 30 days? Seems like a real good thing to do, Bro Bible writes. I guess you could say this challenge falls in the dumb category. Yeah. But it's also intriguing and actually a legitimate challenge, unlike the majority of stuff we see trending all the time. Is it, though? I mean, you just got to book some travel and like 50 states in 30 days. You could easily do, say, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania and 4 hours. It's not that hard. Alaska and Hawaii, all right, you know, a little hard. Adams announced this wild enterprise on April 1st, and yet it wasn't a joke, as he began his journey by hitting a shot at the Hollywood sign in California. Even he said, this seems like it's going to be a pretty poor life choice, yes. Bro Bible has some questions, such as, what's with the shot from Tennessee doing on a simulator? As a Tennessee native, I can confirm that there are golf courses in the state. Maybe the weather was so bad during that day of travel and he only had one small window to hit a shot. Even if it's monsooning, you put a ball on the ground and you hit it. The writer says, I don't want to accuse Adams of anything. And maybe he actually skipped Tennessee altogether, threw some Tennessee course up on the simulator and counted that as a shot. I may have just debunked this man's entire challenge, but I do have to stand up for my home state here. Another conspiracy comes to Daily Comedy News, and that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple. If you like what I do, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.